Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the Prince of Peace Sermon of the Week. For more information and resource materials, please visit our website at popmn.org. And now, here's Pastor Jeff Marion.
Before we get to our scripture reading from Luke's Gospel, the story about a man named Simeon, I want to begin with another story from Luke's Gospel, this one about a blind man. We don't know how the man became blind. We don't know if he'd been blind from birth. What we do know is that blindness in the first century was a pretty hopeless circumstance. There were no medical treatments. There were no social services. If you were blind in the first century, you were pretty much consigned to a life of begging for your living. And that's exactly what this blind man was doing. He was begging on the side of the road when he heard all sorts of commotion. Asked what was happening, he was told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing through the town. And when he heard, the blind man cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, have mercy on me." To which the crowd told him to be quiet. But he cried out all the louder, "Lord, have mercy on me." And when Jesus heard his cry, he called the man to himself. And when the blind man came, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" To which the man immediately responded, "Lord, I want to see." And the story says that the man was healed of his blindness and followed Jesus. Now, I want you to note three things about the blind man in that story. First, the blind man had hope. Hope is daring to believe that things can be different, better than they are in the moment. And that blind man's hope was rooted in his faith. That's the second thing I want you to see. It wasn't merely wishful thinking. It was rooted in faith that Jesus could do something about his blindness and would do something about his blindness. And his faith and his hope led him to the third thing, and that's to action. He cries out for what he needs. Even though the crowd tells him to be quiet, he cries out all the louder. Hope and faith led to action. And we're going to see that very same pattern at work in our reading today from Luke chapter 2, the story of a man named Simeon. If you brought your Bible with you, open if you would to Luke 2, and I'm going to read verses 25 through 35 out of the New Living Translation. Luke writes, "At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people, Israel.' Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hope the Minnesota Wild have a winning season. I hope there's snow on Christmas Eve. I hope that my favorite pair of jeans goes on sale because I'm down one pair these days. I have lots of hopes, and so do you. But those are not the same hopes that Simeon has. Simeon's hope is rooted in something deeper than wishful thinking. Simeon lived in a dark and difficult time in Israel's history. They had been occupied by the Romans for a number of years. They had lived in the fear of violence day in and day out. They had lived under an oppressive and unfair system of taxation that kept them constantly impoverished. But Simeon had hoped that God would come and set the people free from the Roman occupation. And Simeon's hope wasn't mere wishful thinking. It was rooted in his faith that God, who had been faithful to his promises in the past, would be faithful to his promise to send the Messiah, the Savior, to come and set the people free. And that hope and that faith led to action. Simeon was a man who actively watched for the revealing of God's promise, the coming of the Messiah. And like the blind man, when Simeon saw Jesus, he saw more than his eyes were able to see. He saw in Jesus the fulfillment of God's promise. And did you notice how he responded? I love this. He says, "Lord, now let your servant go in peace," which is a Bible way of saying, "Jesus, take me now. I'm done. I can give up now. I can let go of life now." In other words, Simeon, in seeing Jesus, was able to let go of all things, even when he hadn't seen the full outlay of God's plan. He hadn't seen Israel freed from the Romans. He hadn't seen Jesus grow into the Savior. Seeing Jesus was enough for him. And so he was able to let go. Reminds me of a documentary that I saw a number of years ago about a husband and wife who were trapeze artists in a major circus. I watched their act on TV and my palms got all sweaty. It was an amazing combination of grace and strength and skill and coordination. And I remember the woman in the act saying that the most difficult thing to do on the trapeze is to let go of your trapeze, do multiple rotations in the air, and without seeing the other trapeze artist, to simply trust that they'll be there to catch you. And I remember the interviewer said, "Where do you find the courage to let go?" And I'll never forget her words. She said, "Oh, it's not a matter of courage. It's a matter of trust. My husband has never failed to be there to catch me. And so it's my faith in him that allows me to let go and to trust that he will catch me there." That's the kind of hope and faith that Simeon shows that leads him to the action of being able to let go of his life, to trust that without fully seeing, he can trust that God is at work in Jesus. It's a beautiful story, but what does it have to do with you and me? I'd suggest to you quite a lot. You and I also live in some very, very dark times. Would you agree? I think about just in the last few months, people were mailed pipe bombs because of their political affiliation. 11 of our Jewish brothers and sisters were murdered in a synagogue celebrating Sabbath simply because of the faith that they held. I think about the ugliness happening on our southern border right now. I think about two individuals who were murdered in a supermarket simply because of the color of their skin. And that barely begins to scratch the surface of the brokenness and the darkness of the world in which we live. It is enough to lead you to despair, except there's Jesus. The one who promises to be with us. The one who says, "Behold, I am making all things new." The one who promises to dwell in and work through us in ways we could barely imagine. The one who promises to bring restoration to what is broken in our lives and in this creation. And so we, like Simeon, are empowered to be a people of hope. Maybe you're living in a personal darkness right now. Maybe you're living in such dark circumstances that you are tempted to give in to despair, that things could never be better or different than they are now, that there is no hope for you. And I would call you to the hope that is ours in Christ, that things can be different. And that's not wishful thinking, but a hope rooted in the faithfulness of God, who has been faithful to God's promises over and over again. And that hope and faith lead us to the action of living hopefulness day to day. And then not only are we a people who can afford to live hope within ourselves, but we are then called to be a people who live hope out into this world, a world in need of light in the darkness of this day. You see, we are a people in whom this Jesus says, I dwell in you and I dwell through you. Not only am I the light of the world, but you are the light of the world. You are like stained glass through which shines the light of Christ, a light that the darkness cannot overcome. When we are a people who have hope that things can be different, a hope rooted in the faith of God's faithfulness in Christ, we then are a people who go out in action to be bearers of hope in this darkened world. It's why we tutor children at Echo Park Elementary School. So many kids who come from difficult circumstances, to have another adult come alongside them to say, you matter and I care. It's why we provide healthy food and compassion to people who come to our mission outpost, to let them know that they are not alone. It is why we care for people in our dental clinic who cannot afford dental care. It's why we give generously to the needs of others around the world. Would you look to your left at the table full of gifts? No, don't look at me. Look to your left. Those are not merely trinkets to go under a tree. They are signs to those who have felt forgotten that somebody cares. And it is our hope and our prayer that with those gifts will go the Christ child who is the hope of the world. Friends, we are not doing good for goodness sake. We are doing good in response to the one who has given us hope for life. And so how will you live hope in this dark world this week? In a moment, I'm going to pray and I'm going to leave space in that prayer for you to listen to the whisper of the Spirit into your heart and life as to how you are being called to be a sign of living hope in a very dark and broken world. And I have no idea what that will look like in your particular circumstance. Maybe it's visiting someone who feels alone and forgotten. Maybe it's doing a random act of kindness or generosity for someone in need. You have no idea what it is, but the Spirit knows, and the Spirit can and will use you to be a sign of living hope, because we live in a world that, like the blind man, is begging, let me see. Let me see something other than the darkness and the brokenness of this world. Let me see the restoration of God at work. And friends, they will see Christ at work when they see Christ in you and in me. Let's pray. God, we confess that when we reflect on our own personal circumstances or on the news, it is so easy to give in to despair, to lose all hope that things can be different or better than they are in this moment. But God, you, through your Spirit, have given us a living hope and a living faith, which leads us to live differently, to be a people who respond to the call of hope. And so, Spirit of God, would you whisper into our lives now in this moment of silence how it is that you may be calling us to be signs of living hope in this world this week? God, we confess that we all wrestle with the voice that says, you are not enough. You do not have enough. You cannot do enough. But Lord, we hold to the promise that you are enough. And because you are the light of the world who dwells in us, we trust in the promise that it is a light that no darkness can overcome. And so we commit ourselves to being light bearers, bearers of your hope in this dark world. It is in the name of Christ Jesus that we pray, and together God's people say, amen.